We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron, I got to tell you this morning, I haven't felt this good in a long time coming off a night like that. I was thinking this morning, when was a day that matched that in Pittsburgh sports? It had to have been pre-pandemic. I know the Steelers had some good wins at Baltimore, at Tennessee, but all people did was bitch and moan after both of those games anyway. This was a great night in Pittsburgh sports. How are you?
I thought I'm great. I thought the same thing, Joe. I went to bed last night and I'm thinking, man, this was pretty good. We don't get many of days like this. We haven't had any in a long time. I didn't even try to put it into perspective when the last time was, but man, it was fun. You know, and each game was almost more fun than the other one, right? I mean, what Pitt did against, you know, it's not a great Duke team yet. I get that. But I don't care. You still beat Duke. It's impressive. And then the Penguins coming back. Second game in a row they've come back against Washington. Looked so bad in the first period. They're down two goals late in the third, and they end up pulling out a win. And it was just a fun overall night. I don't know when we might get another one like that, but I'm not worried about the next one. I'm still going to enjoy this one for a while. So I'm like you. I'm doing pretty good this morning.
I would say pre-pandemic is the last time we had a double shot like that, and I don't even know what it was. Let's start with the Penguins, Ron. This is fun, isn't it? Just to be talking about wins, about great games.
A little bit different than what we've been doing as of late, that's for sure.
Man, I'll say it reminded me of the night a long time ago, one of the greatest nights in Pittsburgh sports history, actually, for television viewing. I think it was a Thursday night. It was Sid's first NHL fight. He fought Andrew Ference in Boston. It was Pitt beat Duke on the Levance Fields shot. And it was Steelers go into St. Louis and hammer the Rams all on the same night, Ron. I was a master of the remote control that night. And again last night, just feeling good, flicking back and forth when the games intertwined for a while. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing.
I remember that night you're talking about, although it didn't have a happy ending for one Willie Parker, right? Isn't that the night he tore
broken
up
leg?
His knee?
It was a
broken leg. I just remember Tomlin saying we're going to ride him till the wheels fall off, and they actually did fall off for him. But I remember that night. Were you at home watching? I was in St. Louis for the Steelers game. And I remember trying to keep track of what Pitt was doing. I knew Levance Fields took that shot. I loved him because he was never afraid to take the big shot. I always admire that about athletes. I remember being in St. Louis for that, and that was a pretty special night too. You're right.
Man, all the way around, Levance Fields hit that shot, and then he jumped on Dixon, of all people, and almost kicked him in the face. It was unbelievable. Let's start with the Penguins, though, Ron. I don't even know where to start. I'm writing down all my notes this morning, like, well, what's the story of this game? The 3-on-0, the 3-on-5, the 5-on-3, keeping the goalie in the game, down to four defensemen. Let me start with a question for you. If I would have asked you when the first period ended, Ron, percent chance that Sully pulls Casey DeSmith and puts in Tristan Jarry. You're not going to pull him with whatever there was seconds left in the first period.
17 seconds.
Yeah, I would have said 98%. You?
Yeah, I mean, again, not all his fault. It never is all the goaltender's fault. It just astounds me. They've had a habit this year of giving up late goals, and they gave up another one with 17 seconds last night in the period. I'm talking about late in a period. But, you know, CBR scores, and then they give up a goal within 6 seconds. 6 seconds! And then, you know, 2.5 minutes later, they give up another goal. Tom Wilson had both of them. I would have thought that he might have made the change too. But, you know, sometimes, he talks to Mike Buckley. They talk to his assistants. Maybe somebody has a feel and said, hey, let's ride this guy a little longer. I thought you were going to ask me what percentage chance I would have given that they would win the game when it was down 3-1 after one period. And I probably would have said, what'd you say, 99% they'd make a change. I'd say 99% they'd lose the game. And they didn't do either. They didn't make a goaltending change. And they didn't lose the game.
I was shocked. He gave up a brutal second goal that went off his shoulder, bounced in the air and into the net, gave up three in the first. He had pulled Jari. I felt like this was a chance for Jari to sort of ride in on the horse and try to save a game, like a perfect time. I was shocked, and it turned out to be a brilliant move by Sully. I thought one of several in the game. And the Penguins were spiritless. They were lifeless. They were disorganized in the first period. It was embarrassing. And then the whole game changed. And I thought DeSmith was a big part of it. Obviously, on the 3-on-5 goal, when he made that brilliant clearing pass, and little Teddy Bluger finished it. I also thought on the 5-on-3 goal that the Penguins scored, that goal was set up by DeSmith coming way out of his net again and making a quick pass down the ice. And it looked like the Capitals were a little bit disorganized in their own zone, getting in position. And boom, after doing nothing on the 5-on-3, suddenly the Penguins score. So he was a story. Sid was a story. And the Penguins going down to 4 defensemen. Just a huge win. I mean, in the third period, when they're the ones who have lost guys, I thought they took over the game and outplayed the Capitals late and deserved to win.
That's all they seemed to be talking about after the game was how they did that, that shorthanded on defense. You know, first Pettersson goes down, then Ricola doesn't come out for the third period. And I heard Sid say, you know, it's tough playing with 5, let alone 4. And they were giving all the credit to those guys. But I thought the forwards did a great job of helping them out, too. They controlled the play in the Capitals' end and made it a little bit easier for the defensemen, certainly made it a little bit easier for them to have changes instead of long shifts. I thought those guys really stepped it up a notch. It was nice to see Malkin finally get on the score sheet. The power play goal he had. Sid is, off to another good start. You're right. You just can't say enough about how impressive it was, Joe, and man, I didn't see it coming when they were down after that first period.
Haven't even mentioned Kapanen yet. Have him written down here. I thought for a large part of the game he was their best player. I thought they'd put him up on the top line, which he did for a couple shifts. I was screaming for him to do it. But you know what? Rodriguez, he had a bad play, and Bibbs called him out on it when he just when you had a tired Capitals unit on the ice and he just flicked it toward the goal. You could see Sid look up at the ceiling like, what are you doing? But you know what? Rodriguez kept a lot of pucks alive with his speed and tenacity and was played well, I thought. He was a lively player. But Kapanen's debut was very impressive to me.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time until he's on the top line, isn't it? I mean, Rodriguez is okay, but I don't think he's the guy. You didn't bring in Kapanen to play him down in the third or fourth line. What did he get, about 10 minutes last night? They wanted to work him in slowly, and I get that. I mean, he hasn't had any practice time hardly at all. I don't think he got any special teams work last night either, and I could see him, being on at least the second power play, maybe on a penalty kill because of his speed. He's going to get a lot more time as he settles in here. I was very impressed. I mean, it didn't take long to see his speed, Joe, did it? I mean, you saw that right off the jump how fast of a skater he is, and that's why they brought him in here. I can't imagine him not being up with Sid before, probably as soon as when do they play next Friday night against the Rangers are here?
Yep. Yeah, I would imagine that would be the case sooner rather than later, and I thought he was their only good player in the first period. And one of their best players in the game, certainly at even strength, which is the only place he played. The goalie thing, though, is very, very interesting to me now. You know, people question, I think, Sully, for going with the Smith last night. Like, wait a second. You've got this franchise goalie that you're committed to. What are you doing? And my easy answer to that is, what are you thinking by questioning it? They're here to win. They could be 0-4 right now with the way Jari was playing. And 0-4 is good enough to get you practically buried in a season like this. I can't believe that Sully stuck with the Smith last night. I can't imagine what Jari was thinking. Like, wait, I got pulled. Why am I not in this game? But you know what? He was right. And he's been right with his goalies more often than not through the years by far. And now the question is, who plays the next game in goal? Who plays? Now I can't imagine going away from DeSmith with two spirited wins over the Capitals. You?
That's a tough call, Joe. I don't know that I want – the guy I'm committed to, as you said, I don't know that I want him sitting for the better part of a week or 10 days. DeSmith was good last night. I didn't think he was lights out, that you couldn't think about replacing him. But they won, and coaches are generally loath to make changes. I was not surprised that he went back with DeSmith last night. I was a little bit surprised that he didn't go one more time with Jari after those two games in Philly. But either way he goes now, I'm with you. I've learned to trust what decisions he makes. But sooner or later, you got to get Jari back on the horse, I would think. And maybe you'll wait for a loss to do that. And if that's what he does, that's fine. But I'm thinking he has to get him back in there sooner rather than later.
Oh, he'll get back in there. I'm sure he will. But even if DeSmith was bad in the first period last night, and he was, I thought he was really good after that and was a key part of the win. When it mattered, he stood up just like the previous game. So I couldn't care less about the commitment to Jari. Really, like, that's just sort of, what does that even mean? I'm here to win games if I'm Sully. Of course Jari's going to play again. It's a 56-game season. He's going to be back in. He's probably going to have a run of games. But right now, I got a guy who's won two games in a row for me, and when the games were there to win late, he stood up in a big way and was part of a spirited win yesterday. So I'm playing him again if I'm Sully.
And that's fine. I'll be perfectly comfortable with that. I'm just saying I'm not going to just forget about Jari, and they're not. They're not. I mean, if that's the way Sully goes, as you said, he's got a pretty good feel for these sort of things. Certainly had a good feel for it last night, didn't he?
Would they be 0-4 possibly right now if he had stuck with Jari the whole time and never played DeSmith?
I don't know that it would have ever gotten to 0-4. I just thought he might go back with them one more time, after the two in Philly. If he'd ended up losing again Sunday to the Capitals, I think absolutely they would have made a change. Could have, they could have lost, with DeSmith too. I mean, they had a couple, just the way they played last night in the third period was what overwhelmed me. I mean, their commitment to what Sully say, play the right way, right? Isn't that what he always says? Play the right way. And I saw that last night for the first time all year. I don't know how long that'll last. We know how these guys are. They don't always they find a way that wins, and then they end up going back to playing, take their dumb chances and try to make perfect plays. But I just was so impressed with last night. They could still be 0-4, but they're not, and certainly Casey DeSmith deserves a lot of credit for that.
Well, here's the other thing. If the idea is that you're screwing around with Jari and you're going to affect his confidence or hurt his feelings, then he's not the guy you want anyway. If he can't withstand sitting a couple games, 2, 3, 4 games, whatever it might be.
Right.
I think
right.
Sully's sending him an early message here. And I think the message is, listen, if you don't get your crap together at some point, I'm never afraid, which Jari should know if he knows Sully's history, I'm never afraid to go with a guy that I believe can win for me. So I think at the very least, this is a strong early message for Jari that he's got to get it together. There's no time here to wait for somebody. This ship is sailing in a big way, and you can fall behind and out of it in a hurry.
That may be a message to other players, too. I mean, it's this him saying, we're not going to sit around and wait for you to get – this isn't, a typical October, where
right.
If you have 3 or 4 bad games, we're going to stick with you because you're our guy. I think that's a message to all those guys.
Brian Rust got ripped off the second line last night for a while, right?
He did. That's what I mean. Here's a guy who was your leading goal scorer last year, right? Last year seems a long way away.
It does, and I think the Penguins have a chance to be very good. And I wonder about some of these other teams. I think the Capitals are good. I think they're also the oldest team around, and I think they have an issue in goal. I really do. I've seen both their goalies play, and I'm not overly impressed with either one. They may have an issue in goal moving forward. It's going to be great to watch. I'm loving this, these two-game series, all the games in the East. Let's talk a little now about Pitt Duke and also about this Philip Rivers story coming up on Cook and Joe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.